Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, thanks for making our podcast such a success. I mean, we rank in the top 0.5% in the world. It's because of you. We're humbled by your attention to us. We ask you to keep sharing because we have a lot of battles to fight here. And if we don't, get involved, we're going to be back where we were in 2020 or worse. So thanks for doing that. We have Colin Plume with us of Noble Gold. And you go, Noble Gold, that's your favorite company. I hear that a lot by people in their comments. Well, I do. I'll tell you what I say in the commercial. No call centers, okay? They speak perfect English and they go off script and not get lost. How many times you had that happen to you when you've done customer service, right? And you have to literally close your own deal. So, Colin, I always like to tell that story. The first time I did business with your company, I think, okay, I'm ready. And I don't miss anything else, Mr. Hodges? I had to literally close my own deal. It was so passive. It was. Now I'm kind of used to it. Yeah. You know, I talk to Hope. I just got to say, okay, let's close this out now. It's such a fantastic thing. And you're so on top of things. Your projections have been on the money. And you've come across some information here that I think is very telling about where things are going. And so I think what I'd like to do is just kind of, oh, I should say this too, Noble Gold, right? You can go to davehodgesgold.com and we'll send you that information packet. I should mention that at the beginning because I'll hit it at the end. And I'll also give you the phone number at the end. But Colin, I want to throw it to you so you can kind of elaborate on this unbelievable article you sent me. And it really goes more into depth than what I have read myself on stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's sending shockwaves in the precious metals industry because it's rare to have a central bank. So it's the ECB, it's a European central bank. So it's in essence our Fed. And they have some of their top people on this article, analysts that researched. They have four people in this article that came out. And the article is, what does the record price of gold tell us about risk perceptions in the financial markets? And so they really dove into, you know, why investors are buying gold today. You know, the two main points are the no counterparty risk. And, you know, when I think about no counterparty risk, you know, there's a million things that we don't think about that have counterparty risk. You know, if you, let's say you lent your car to your neighbor and they have it parked in their garage and, you know, something happens to your car over there, there's, you know, there goes, the risk is there. And if you have your money in the bank and they decide to take your money in the bank, your risk is there. There's so many things day to day that we don't realize that we have risk in. And you know, we have insurance and things to protect us, but you can't protect yourselves. And a lot of times, in financial instruments, people think there's more protection than there really is. They feel like things are safer than they really are. And listen, day to day, we hear of scams happening across the board where people send money to a place and they think the bank's going to help them or the credit card, and they don't. So I don't think there's as much protection for consumers financially. And so the fact that gold has no counterparty risk. There's no risk because you own the asset by yourself. It is important to it's a small thing, but it's a big thing, I think. And then in this article, they really discuss just the limited supply of gold. You know, there's only enough gold in the whole world to fit in almost three Olympic sized swimming pools. So it's a limited supply. So they dive into that. But there's some big points happening, Dave, that you and I talk about a lot, and they talk about it in this article. But the big thing, and you know, I'd be happy if anybody calls us, happy to send you the article. But one of the things that they really talk about is the amount of people that want to take physical delivery of gold. And these aren't just you and I. This is institutions. And you and I talked about this, the London Bullion Exchange, which I believe was started in the mid 1980s as really a way to suppress the price of gold, right? Because they created this exchange that supposedly has these contracts, and it's a way to like make gold sort of something that's like out of sight, out of mind. Until now, and what they allude to in this article by the European Central Bank is that institutions are not okay with contracts anymore. They are finally seeing the writing on the wall, and the amount of deliveries, the skyrocketing amount of deliveries has been unprecedented. And the last time it was this high, it never got this high in 2020, but it was high in 2020, also a time where people didn't feel comfortable. But early this year, people wanted physical possession. And if you look at the chart, you'll see the line is way up, the highest it's been of institutions wanting physical gold. So I think that's pretty interesting, Dave.
No, you're right about that line. It is off the charts high. But I was reading here, and I know this is related to the same thing. Banks were upset because the London people were not fulfilling their demand for gold in a timely fashion, and it became pretty obvious that there was paper gold certificates sold for which there was no gold backing.
So that, yeah, and that's, and when you have a contract that you think is being stored and you find out that it's not available, it creates a lot of concern. And so people wanted their gold, they were wanting they're getting their gold shipped closer to them. So it sent the amount of deliveries really skyrocketing. Also, independent of this article, we should mention that the Basel Law, the making gold a tier one asset, will come into effect in July. So the law that was passed a few years ago where gold was going to go from tier three to tier one, it goes into effect in July. And what that's going to do is it's going to force banks away from having paper gold because they won't be able to show paper gold on their books. So they will have to buy physical gold to show it as an asset on their books. So it's really interesting timing because you got to think, when I've been in the business for the past 16 years and you've been looking at gold for, probably your whole life, you've been looking at these things, they've been telling us that paper gold is okay. But now you have Basel creating, this is a banking law that they've created telling banks that no, it's no longer okay to have paper gold. You need to have physical gold to show it as an asset on your books. And then now the European Central Bank is saying that the derivatives market shot up in November of last year. So it went up by 58%. So people were buying, traders were buying derivatives of gold at an unbelievable number. Unbelievable
Is it
number.
hard gold or is it the paper?
It's derivative gold. It's like the derivatives market that happened in 2008 and 2009. It's the same thing. It's not even like one contract. It's like a contract of a contract. So it's a derivative. And so, it's a way to leverage, it's a way to buy more than that's actually available.
So it's a Ponzi scheme of sort.
Yeah, because they eventually somebody has to have the physical gold. Similar to the idea in 2008, 2009, where they were starting to resell all these contracts that they said were great contracts. Turns out those contracts or the bonds that were selling weren't A credit bonds. So when the derivative market started to fall apart, you saw the whole economy fall apart. And in this article, they say that if they continue to call, if people continue to want the physical gold, they don't accept the contract, that we will have a supply shock in the physical market. And they say in the article that we would expect large losses. The thing that's scarier, even beyond that, is they say that most of the derivative contracts are being held by a few companies. So you have these few major institutions selling these contracts because obviously it's very profitable to not to just sell paper, right? It's much easier for them to sell paper than actually source and acquire the gold. And so this article from the ECB is basically saying that we could have a significant supply shock in the physical gold market because of this derivatives, all these derivative contracts that are out there. So this article is pretty telling. And also I would say, surprising to come from a source like this, because they are a central bank that's pushing people to buy bonds and fiat. You know, they want you to buy the euro, but they're basically telling people that they should be concerned about the paper and the derivative market of gold.
Yeah, but this is what doesn't make sense to me. They're pushing people to fiat, which is a losing proposition to begin with. And then they're pushing people to these paper gold contracts that aren't, a lot of them aren't worth the paper they're written on. Are they pushing people to destruction so they have less competition? Is that what's going on?
I mean, it could be. I mean, listen, this central bank is saying that, you know, it's warning people that there could, you know, they don't say that it's gonna happen. They're just saying this could likely happen. But they're quite concerned about what could happen. I mean, it says in here, according to surveys conducted February and March of 2025, 58% of asset managers would expect gold to be the best performing asset class in full-blown trade war scenario. So they're talking about, you know, investors out there, big companies recommending gold, concerned about the tariffs, and this obviously created unprecedented demand. But now the demand is different. People are just not, they're not willing to accept the idea that it's stored in the London Bullion Exchange, or they're not accepting the idea of buying GLD. They're worried about these derivatives. They don't think that if people start to call in, that they're actually going to have enough gold. Because listen, we know there's not that much gold in the world. So how could they have this 58% increase in paper, right? It's not going to be backed up by the physical gold.
It's fraud. You know what it reminds me of? Fractional reserve banking. Let's
Right.
put a dollar in your bank and you loan out nine. And I got a feeling this is what happened with the gold certificates. They got a gold bar and they lent out nine times the gold bar. They sold it off,
Yep.
but they had nothing to back it up. So if you use that 9-to-1 ratio that the Federal Reserve does, I mean, you got almost a 90% chance of losing money if you're in paper gold.
Yeah, they say here, and I quote, "Such vulnerabilities have arisen because commodity markets tend to be concentrated among a few large firms, often involve leverage, and have a high degree of opacity deriving from the use of the OTC derivatives. Margin calls and unwinding of leverage positions could lead to liquidity stress among market participants, potentially propagating the shock through the wider financial system." So they're saying, like, yeah, like, there's going to be losses, problems here, but it's going to spill. This is
Yeah.
going to spill over. Additionally, disruptions in the physical gold market could increase the risk of a squeeze. In this case, market participants could be subject to significant margin calls and or troubled sourcing and transporting appropriate physical gold for delivery in derivative contracts, leaving themselves exposed to potentially large losses.
Exactly. What will the government do when that happens?
Well, that's the great question. I mean, I think that they'll, you know, listen, you're buying a contract from a, I'm not, it's not JP Morgan, but a large institution, one of these, you know, large institutions. And what people don't realize is that a lot of times on these derivatives, they're absolving themselves of the risk, right? There's no guarantee when you're buying a derivative because you're levered, you're buying a levered item. And so there will always be risk in a levered item. That's the big problem when you get into these sort of contracts and you don't. That's why it doesn't, gold is so simple. It's like, it's funny you mentioned Hope earlier, because Hope says this, one of the things she tells, because clients will be like, "I don't know anything about gold." You know, they'll call her and she'll say, "Okay, well, tell me about what you own. Tell me about your stocks." And they're like, "Well, I don't know. I own this fund, and they know, and I own this, and I," and they actually, most of the time, people actually don't even know what they really have in their stocks. But then she says, "Well, tell me what you know about gold." And they're like, "Well, gold's been around 5,000 years. It's used in heart monitors. It's used for trading and bartering." And then when they think it through, they actually know more about gold than they know about what they actually own. And that's sort of a simple thing, but it's true. And that we sort of underestimate what we know about gold and the usage of gold. And sometimes the simpler thing is sort of the better thing, you know, for an investment.
Yeah. Well, I got to believe this is going to have a big spillover effect to the stock market too.
Yeah, well, and I think it's will people continue to push to get delivery? I mean, that's the big thing that and I will say, seeing something like this in writing from a reputable source, from a source that is agnostic, right? That they just, they're just gathering information and putting it back out there. To see this reaffirms what I've done in my career and what I've been focusing on, and that, you should own assets by yourself, and that the institutions have tried to brainwash people into believing that you should rent forever and you should borrow things and you should lease cars and you don't need to own things. And they're basically telling you right now that if you're buying the stock form or derivative form of gold, that there could be potentially large losses and there could be a supply shock. So they're saying it based on the data that they're seeing, that there's no way that they're going to be able to fulfill all these contracts, that there's no way that they're going to be able to deliver all this, and that if people continue to push and go, I want it, give it, I want it in my hands, there's going to be a potential spillover to the whole economy. And I think that's sort of the scary point for a lot of these institutions, is that they're going to try to stifle us and you and me from telling people that no, you could just own the thing by yourself. You don't have to give it to a middleman that's going to give it to another middleman to another middleman, right? I mean, that's in essence what we did. And in 2008 and 2009, if everybody watched The Big Short, that's what that guy Michael Burry or Michael Burry, that's what he did. He just realized that people were just there was so many middlemen, and that they were buying bad, debt that they bundled together, and that there was going to be a collapse. I mean, that's what happened in 2008 and 2009, and I think that's what's going to happen again.
You know, you just got to wonder if I did nothing. I don't hold any paper gold, thank goodness. Because I've always been raised with the if you don't hold it, you don't own it. But you can store it, but your storage is real hard gold. That's what I'm, but I don't believe in the paper gold. But if I were in that situation, what I might do is sell for pennies on the dollar, get what I can, and buy as much gold with that as possible, hard gold, because I know where gold is going. And I'm thinking gold's going to be in short supply if that happens.
Absolutely. And the Fed, just on another note, so there's a few things. So the Basel law is coming into effect in July, which
And
is
when you
going to.
say Basel, excuse me, but is that Bank of International Settlement?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you read, if you look up today, you'll see that that gold Basel law, the tier three to tier one, is going into effect in July. So you're going to have a whole new group of banks, real banks, that have to buy gold. So that's a whole new buyer. So you've had central banks that have been buying over 1,000 tons of gold for 3 years in a row. Now we have institutional banks, Bank of America, Credit, Chase, Wells, all these guys, they're gonna have to sell their derivatives, buy the physical gold. And I bet you if they read this article, they're probably doing that right now. They're probably afraid. So they're gonna have to do that. But then if you think about it, when did we have the last real bull run in gold, Dave? It was 2001 to 2011. And that was, how did that happen? And it was 9/11, Fed lowered interest rates and basically made, everything go crazy artificially. And gold started to go on a big run. So we went on a 10-year run from right after September 11th, gold was awoken, and it was all the way till September of 2011. So we had a 10-year bull run. This time our bull run started right around early 2000, right? It was right at the beginning of COVID. You saw people start to talk about gold. It pulled back initially at the beginning, and then it went on a run, right? And it's been going on a run. So we're basically like 4.5 years into that run now, right? For almost 5 years in that run. If we mirror what we did in 2001 and 2011, we got 5 more years of a bull run. We got a significant. That's why people are calling us like, "What's happened? Where are we?" We're in the beginning. If history repeats itself, we're in the beginning
I got it.
of that run. And I think that's why when people say like, "Oh, $5,000 an ounce of gold, like it's unbelievable, it doesn't make sense." It's like, well, if you look at central banks buying gold, you look at the institutional banks buying gold, you look at the fact that our debt has not gone down at all. We're still in the same place. We're trying to get it under control, but we're still there. You look at the stock market's been extremely volatile this year. I mean, we've had days the Dow's been down 2,200 points, and there's still investors, there's still institutions that are extremely confident in the gold price for the next 4 or 5 years.
I will be too, but I want to go back to something because I think people need to see this. The Bank of International Settlements is the central bank for the central bankers across the planet, especially in first world countries. And they want a debt system.
Right.
Okay. And here's where I'm confused. They want a debt system because they put debt into society. They don't put real tangible value. What I'm wondering is this. I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this question. When you said that gold went from a tier three to a tier one asset, does that mean it can be exchanged like money for real goods?
I think what I mean, in a technical term, what a tier three asset is for that institution, tier three is a higher risk asset. A tier one is a no risk asset.
So paper versus hard gold.
Right, exactly. And
Okay.
also what they're doing is they're saying that gold is comparable to other no risk assets. They're actually like giving gold a status in the banking system that they never had. That they're basically alluding to the fact that gold is safer now, and that they want instant, because they would not set this law into place if they felt that the downside for gold is extremely high, because they're
Exactly.
basically telling banks that you need to acquire this asset. So they're telling banks like this is a good asset for your books, and they have every incentive to keep banks strong and solvent and in a good position, right? I mean, that's why they create these laws. So they're basically saying to the banks that gold is safer than it's been in the past, and that you should own it, and that when you're looking at your books and you're looking at the assets and liabilities, the gold is a strong asset on your books, and so you need to acquire it. And so I think that's pretty interesting. I think that's a pretty interesting sign. And, of all the gold that was acquired, over the last year, about 38% was bought by central banks. Now you're having institutional banks coming into the fold. So who knows where they're going to be in terms of buying. This just so far this year, gold buying from central banks is down about 5%. But I anticipate that they will continue to catch up to central banks. And now we have this whole new buying class of institutions that are going to jump into the fray, and they're going to buy institutional gold, which is, it's really interesting because people always ask, like, what kind of gold should I buy? And we sell the same physical gold that the banks buy. The bars that we sell, the same purity, maybe they're buying bars that are a little bit bigger than ours. But that being said, it's still the same quality. Like you're buying the same stuff from us that the central banks and now the institutional banks buy for their own, holdings.
Wow, there's a couple of things that come to mind for me here. The word mercantilism in the age of colonization of the New World, you could only print as much money as you had gold in your treasury to back it. So the Spanish conquistadors were on a mission to look for the seven cities of gold and so forth. The Aztecs responded to that by hiding their gold in northern Utah, as we're now starting to discover. I mean, it was a real shell game, but gold backed up every currency. Well, if every bank is being encouraged to take gold, then gold would seem like it would back up whatever fiat currency is existing inside that bank.
Right.
Okay. And then there's a second part to this. How do you monetize that into the hands of the average person so they spend it on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, and they're sort of alluding that we are going back to a quasi gold standard. And, the only thing left to do is for, our government to go into Fort Knox and to revalue our gold, which we've talked about. them doing. I will say I'm still baffled that they haven't done that.
If it's their
I
column.
mean, after Elon Musk and Trump were sort of joking about it, and they were even making jokes like, is it there? And then somehow a month later, Bessent was like, yeah, we have it. We did an audit. It was like, well, I don't think that's satisfactory for most people. I think people wanted to go and see it and be have it on video. I think you got to give people peace of mind, especially when you see reports like this from the ECB that like there's all this derivative gold. It's like, who's to say that they're not living in a derivative gold market too, that they just have gold that they say they own. Because there's been a lot of gold that's been sold from the US over the last 50, 75 years. I mean, if you go with from how much gold we had during the Bretton Woods exchange to when we did the audit in 1973, there was a lot of gold that was sold. There's not any real reporting of how much we sold, but there's a lot. There was a lot less tons. I think we were at like 12 or 1400 tons in 1944. And then when we did the audit in 1973, there was like 813 tons. So they sold 400 or 500 tons of gold that they never really discussed with anybody. So who's to say from 1973? I mean, think about all the governments, the presidents, and things that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way that anyone would just believe that we have gold there. I mean, there's never been anyone out of Fort Knox that's talked about it, that's confirmed. I mean, it seems quite like scary to think that they won't just do that physical.
I think they will, but this is now the third time I said it. I'm sorry to repeat myself. But they have to find a way. Unless the dollar or the euro or whatever currency would take on the value of the gold that's backing it. If they don't accomplish that, they have to find a way to be able to monetize gold, whether it's through gold coin or something. I mean, if you're gonna, and here's the other thing I thought of too. You think of the old Knights Templar, right? They got gold, and when people were traveling to the Holy Land, they'd get robbed. So they go to a Knights Templar, the first banks. And they'd say, okay, we'll hold your gold and we'll give you a certificate, money backed by gold, and we'll charge you a small fee. And it made traveling a lot safer now that way because you couldn't get robbed for your gold. I'm almost wondering too, in the future economy, if enough of us hoard the gold, so to speak, will we become our neighborhood bank?
That we have the wealth that we have the wealth in our hands, like in our safes and our vaults. And yeah, I it's a great point. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, the idea that the ECB is showing how many institutions want physical gold, and then saying that the derivatives game is a Ponzi scheme. And that it can't, you know, they can't keep up. They don't have enough, and they'll expect massive losses if continued to see people taking possession. They're sort of saying that, you know, it's either hold it or you're at significant risk.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
I think that's the thing that most people today are trying to avoid. I think that's, you know, when you put your money in your 401k or you have your IRA or whatever. At some point, you want to get away from those significant swings and that significant risk. And so that's what they're sort of talking about. The ECB article is quite unbelievable that a central bank would really tell people that, you know, gold is safe. It makes sense why people own gold. And then, you know, preparing people for it's almost like they want to put this report out now because they know that this is going to happen, that we're going to
Yeah.
see the supply shock. And they want to be able to say, well, we told you, right? We told you to be careful and you didn't listen to us. And now, you know, sorry, but we're not responsible. Even though we're the central bank, like we're not responsible for these institutions because we told you that they were over
If I were the gold doctor, I'd ask, how far is the cancer spread, doctor? And
leveraged.
here's what I mean by this, Colin. Here's what I mean by this. A bank's exposure now to complete ruination would be basically based on how much hard gold assets they have versus the paper gold assets.
Right.
Because
Exactly.
the paper gold is, well, it's going to make the real gold just, it's going to go up astronomically in value. But it
Yeah.
also, too, risks the solvency of a bank. I think if they're like 50-50, A bank is in trouble. Do we know anything about the percentages of real gold versus paper certificates in the big five?
I don't have that data right now. I think I'll be able to get more of that data once the law comes into effect, because I think they're going to start auditing in July.
Yeah.
Waiting to get that. The World Gold Council and probably some of the banking institutions, and maybe Basel will have that data available, because that law is going to go into effect, and so you're going to see tremendous buying, of the physical asset. So I think that's going to push, push people to start acquiring and learning. And if you think about it from a banking point of view, there's not a lot of assets that they're going to feel good about over the next 12 to 18 months. And what I mean is this: we saw a lot of banks over the last 2 to 3 years get in trouble. Some went out of business, and mostly was because they overbought bonds at the wrong time, right? I mean, that's what Silicon Valley Bank did, and there's two other banks that'll come to me. The names will come to me, but in essence, what happened was they overlevered into bonds, which, by the way, like everybody says, bonds are the safest, except when you buy bonds at the right time, at the wrong time. And basically, they bought treasuries at 2%, and then treasuries went to 4%. And then people started to catch wind of this, and then people started pulling money out of the banks, and so they had to liquidate. Well, when you buy a bond at 2% and then the market's 4 or 5%, well, guess what? You're going to lose money on that bond, right?
Yeah, big time.
So yeah, so what happened was they bought bonds at the wrong time. It's going to be interesting, because I think banks are going to be nervous to be in bonds again, because the bond market, like the 10-year, like everybody thought like we'd be able to get things down, but actually the 10-year's gone up. So they're not going to want to be too heavy in there. They need assets. Bank needs assets that they feel safe about. They know that they're predicting hopefully that it'll have some growth, and so I think gold will do that for them. But they need assets that are liquid, so they can't really buy real estate. They have to be in assets they can move in and out of quickly in case people flood and want to get cash. They have to sell it, right? They have to be able to sell these assets. So I think that if the banks are smart, they're going to get in a lot of gold in July and the rest of the year, and they're going to be protected. And I think if they continue to see the growth that we've seen, gold's up 14% this year. Even if we go back to a traditional gold market where gold goes up 7 to 10% a year, which is more of a normal market, that's going to be a much better return and safety for them than making, 3 to 4% in the bond market.
Yeah, but the banks are really vulnerable here. And the way I see it is because if they're holding too much paper gold and it becomes a scandal and a crisis, their credit rating is going to be downgraded. Their ability to be a legitimate lender is going to be affected. And that cuts into the lifeblood of what a bank does. And so I think bank failures are going to be catastrophic with this. But here's my warning I give almost every day. Folks, you need to know this. Dodd-Frank 2010, you're an unsecured creditor. And if you have like an IRA or 401k, a passbook account, whatever it would be, the banks can keep it because when you put it in there, the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says basically it's theirs. You're an unsecured creditor. Now, they don't do it today because they want to do fractional reserve banking. So they want you to keep putting the money in so they can loan out a lot more than you put in. But if that comes down to the point where they're trying to cut losses and they're going to divvy up the money as they go broke, they're going to keep your assets. I mean, do you think that's a wrong interpretation?
No, and I think, listen, we've seen them pull different things, like Wells Fargo is notorious for opening new accounts for clients that didn't want them. I mean, they've had fines for many, many years. You've reported on this a lot. So there's creative ways that they try to charge you fees, move people into different accounts, move your money around. Unfortunately, the banks are not, the kind of institution that they used to be. And I also think, at the end of the day, if the banks are paying, 3 to 4% right now in a bank, you got to think, what is really the return that I need to make to keep up with this cost of living? Because if they're paying 3 or 4%, they're making 10, 12, 15% out in the market. When they were giving you a return of 1%, they were making 8 to 10%, right? So
Yeah.
you have to think about that. As much as this 4%, I hear people say, oh, this is a good return, this and that. It's like, It's only a good return if it's much higher than what inflation is. And I think everybody knows inflation is, and the cost of living is going up much more. I mean, that's
Right.
part of the reason the gold price has gone up, right? I mean, Alan Greenspan would always say this. He'd say, like, I know as the Federal Reserve chair, based on where the gold price is going, I know how I'm doing. The gold's going up a lot. I think there's too much inflation. I'm doing a bad job. If it's steady and slow, I know I'm doing a good job. Well, guess what? Gold's up 43% over the last 18 months, and the Fed's not doing a great job, and the banks aren't doing a great job, and we're overspending, right? Or we put ourselves in bad situations. So
Yeah.
gold is reacting to us creating all this debt and all this money. I mean, that's why there's so much money going into gold right now.
You really answered my question. I just asked a statement I made a second ago about Dodd-Frank 2010. And you said that Wells Fargo is notorious for creating accounts and putting people's money in it.
Yep.
In China, this is what I think you're probably getting at. In China now, they don't have the money to pay out accounts, so they print the money. And they take their customers' money and they put it into retirement accounts that can't be touched. And so when the people go to withdraw money, they can't get it.
Yep.
And it's involuntary. That's kind of what you're saying Wells Fargo is notorious for.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the 401k institution on itself is similar to that, right? I mean, it wasn't. 401ks were not created for the employee. They were created for the employer. When you start a 401k, you can dictate when the person can take the money out, how it's vested. You can do a lot of things as an employer. And really, those plans were created so that the owners can put a lot of money in. They can also, it's a way to keep employees around and keep them happy. But a lot of times people don't realize, like, the fees are high.
Yeah.
The employer is really in control a lot of times. You can't take your money out while you're working there. They don't let you do that. You have to either leave or be above the age of 59 and a half. And so when people do, they can't wait to get access to their money, and they roll it into a self-directed IRA and they buy gold with us, because they know that now they have control. So it's this, it's another scheme that's sort of out there. The 401k is an additional scheme that's out there, and it's another way for these big institutions and these mutual funds. I mean, the fees are outrageous. If you add the custodial fees and then the mutual fund fees, you're looking at anywhere from 1.5 to 3% annually. Those are pretty high numbers. You have to have some pretty significant consistent returns to outpace that when you're losing 1.5 to 3% every year.
Yeah, factor in inflation, that becomes a real issue too.
Yeah.
There's no question. I mean, here's what I'm taking from everything you're saying. Don't buy paper at all. If you have it, get rid of it while you still can.
That's
And
correct.
then also buy as much gold as you can because the value is going to explode.
Yeah, and if you're going to buy the real thing, buy the real tangible gold and silver. And that's what the ECB, surprisingly, the European Central Bank, in this article with five of their top analysts, their economists, are telling people. They're telling people that it's a good investment. They tell you why it's a good investment. There's multiple charts and they're showing what's happening in the markets. They're telling that there's a derivative bubble. And they're saying that if we continue to see people wanting to take possession, that there'll be significant losses with those companies. I mean, if that isn't the most telling thing to come out of a central bank, I don't know what is. And I was shocked to read this article. Unbelievable. It's almost like sometimes you can't hide the truth, and they had to tell the truth, or they know the bubble is going to come, and they just wanted to get ahead of it so that when people lose money in these paper or gold, that they can say that they're absolved and that they should have read this article that's on their website. I think that's the only
No, I
two.
agree, but I'm sorry to be redundant, but I'm going to come back to this. I totally agree with acquiring as much gold as possible because of the exploding value that's coming. It's already happening,
Yeah.
but right now is the calm before the big storm where it really explodes. But I'm wondering, is it going to be monetized into currency? Will it be monetized? You could spend it in the economy into Bitcoin. I mean, what do you see about that? Or will gold coins replace gold bullion?
Well, I think it. I don't know. I never really know how it's going to be. All I know is this: is that if I have a contractor bid on something in my house and I tell them I'll pay in gold, they'll take it. If I go to anywhere and I'm buying some asset and I mention that I could pay in gold or silver, they'll take it. So I don't know how they'll do it. I just know that if central banks are going to continue to buy at the pace that they are, institutional banks are going to be forced to buy in July, you're going to see some movement in the price.
Sure.
And I think that's the thing that's the most important to sort of keep in mind is that, everybody's looking for the hedge. Hedge funds, I have a good friend who runs a hedge fund. And basically, he's a huge gold buff. And I said to myself, I'm thinking to myself, there's all these companies on the stock exchange. There's all these instruments that they can buy, right? They can leverage, they can do options, they can do puts, calls. I mean, you can name it. And I'm always like, what do you mean? You guys like physical gold? He's like, we're a hedge fund. Actually, people buy us. They buy my hedge fund because they want to be protected against the collapse. They're hedging with me. They're actually looking to protect themselves. So when the market was down the last few years and they were down significantly, the whole market, he wasn't down. He was up a little bit. So the market's down 20, 25%. He was at even, maybe up a little bit. So people that bought that, they were hedging, right? They were protecting themselves. So gold is the ultimate hedge. And this is from a hedge fund owner manager. So it's interesting how people are looking at it. I think things have changed a lot. We're obviously here to break these things down, and we can send people this article if they contact us, if they want to dive into it more. But I think it's a great time right now to look at it. Things are happening in the markets, big institutions. This is not just, some guy, on the top of a mountain screaming. There are compelling reasons right now that the gold market is ready to explode.
It's gold or perish, I think. I mean, that's how we're starting to look at it here. It's incredible. When people come to Noble Gold and they buy the gold, do you monetize it for them if they want to get
Of
liquid?
course, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if they want to liquidate, that's the beauty behind us is that we sell bullion coins and bar, so they're the most liquid. With us, we buy back for clients. We send them cash.
Right.
What a lot of people are doing, they're in retirement, so they have to take their RMDs and their IRAs. So they can either take the gold or silver, or they can take the cash. So we could do it either way. But yeah, I mean, the great joy in my business is the last 4 years. Like, people have really done well. They've been able to keep up and outpace inflation.
Yes.
I talked to investors that have had to sell a little bit for X, Y, and Z, and they're just like, yeah, I can buy a new car, or I can fix my roof, or I can go on a vacation. Like, they've been able to keep up and go into retirement and live like a good life, and I think most people are like, they're not trying to live on a yacht. They're trying to just keep up with that, the good quality of life in their retirement years. And I feel great that we've been able to get them there.
Well, gold is clearly the vehicle. Like I said, I do think silver is coming behind it, but I think that's going to trend too. But this is such a great opportunity here. I've told people this, and I mean this sincerely. You got an income, you're paying your bills, you got a little left over at the end of the month. I know you need a rainy day fund. You should have that. But if you got to get a second job to buy gold, I would recommend that. I mean, this is how much this is going to explode. This would be worth that endeavor.
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, it's because you're buying an asset, right? Like, you're buying something that would benefit. You're not like doing working harder or putting this money aside to buy something that's not going to help you.
Right.
It's going to help you later. This asset's going to help you later on. And I see it every day. I see grandparents buying it for their grandkids, because they're really thinking about these young people and their future. And just imagine buying gold today for, let's say the twins, my twins that are six. Can you imagine when they need it at 50, 60, what gold's going to be at? It's going to be at what, 30, 40, $50,000 an ounce? I mean, to be able to pick up gold today at 3,200 and set them up that way, like, it's such a blessing to have
No,
that
it is.
opportunity right now. So.
No, it really is. It's tremendous. Let me give out the contact information for Noble Gold because you want to know more. First, if you want some elaboration on what we just presented here, Colin and I, you can go to DaveHodgesGold.com, put your email in. We don't sell your data, and we can send you out what amounts to a layman's prospectus, short, sweet, to the point. But I would recommend, really, call the people at Noble Gold. As we indicated before, it's not even soft sell. That's too strong a term. They won't pressure you. They'll just answer your questions. And now's the time. I'm telling you, now is the time to do this. So call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Make sure you tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Call in, very informative. We're going to talk about something else in future, but is this a shift in the economy? Is this like a turning, so to speak?
Absolutely. I haven't seen anything. I mean, just the amount of momentum. I haven't seen anything like this in the 16 years that I've been in the business.
Yeah, I'm not on your side of it and don't know the business as well as you. That's why you come on here. But I will tell you, I've never seen gold do what it's doing.
Absolutely.
Never, never. I've never seen it. And it's only going to increase, people. So take advantage. Colin, thanks so much for coming on, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on. Great information. Thank you. And we'll see you back here again next time.
You too. God bless.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Dave.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Hey, I just did an interview with Jeff Currier, and I got to tell you, what a fantastic journalist he is. And we talked about Epstein, but more importantly, we talked about Bongino, Patel. What the hell are they afraid of? Look at their body language in an interview they did on Fox News with Marie Bartiromo. You look at that and you say, these aren't their words. Something is being hidden. We're not being told the truth. What it is, I mean, we can speculate all day long, but I want to play this interview because, number one, we put some great content up on our TV show. So I'm going to play about 10 minutes for you and let you see what kind of stuff we put up there in terms of geopolitics. We do other stuff too, and I've talked to you about that. But before we go there, I just wanted to let you know that we're just going to let this play through to about the 10-minute mark, and then you can go see the rest of it over at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And we're going to do a whole lot more investigative journalism like this. All right, here we go. Okay, there's my guest, Jeff, and I'm just going to play this through the first 10, and I'm telling you, your eyes are going to pop out of your head on some of this stuff, and the best is over on the TV show. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And hey, let Noble Gold protect you from what the banks can do to you under Dodd-Frank. Let Noble Gold help you invest wisely. And they're the best people I've ever dealt with. No call centers, no pressure. You close your own deal. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. Our guest in this segment is Jeff Currier, and he is the president and managing partner for WGSO Radio in New Orleans. And he's been doing this stuff since 1999, got a good history. He's interviewed presidents and speakers of the House, and the background he possesses is phenomenal. He seems to be everywhere all at once. He's got his own dish network. It's incredible. I just, like I said, but I don't want to waste a lot of time because our time is short going through the extensive resume because that could take up the whole show. But what we're going to talk about here is something that I'm impatient about, and I have raised this issue myself to some degree because it reminds me of Ken Lay of, well, you know that story with Ken Lay, right? Okay, I don't want to go into that here, but I'm not trusting what we've been told about Epstein, and neither is our guest. And so I want to welcome you to the show, first time appearance on the Common Sense Show. And I got to tell you, you've been saying what I think a lot of people are thinking with regard to the Epstein situation. And so let's just jump right into that. What are your concerns and what have you found?
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on your program. So, yeah, as you've outlined, I've been doing this a long time, been observing, commenting on politics for decades. And it just doesn't smell right to me, the whole Epstein so-called suicide. You look at the particular prison he was in, we have to believe that His cellmate was moved out the day before, that the cameras weren't working, that the guards fell asleep. We have to believe that the injuries that were sustained to his neck were highly unusual for a suicide, according to renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden. And we have to trust the word of our government officials who tell us, oh, they looked into it, it was a suicide. Some people that knew him well, his brother says it was not a suicide. His lawyers say it was not a suicide. So I have always questioned it ever since August of 2019 when we were told that this happened. And I was hoping under the Trump administration, we would get disclosure, we would get truth. And I think they've made progress on some issues, definitely. And I think overall, he's doing a very good job. But on this issue, I have to say I'm very disappointed, Dave.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are really impatient. I see a lot of chatter on X about show us the list. And if you were to speculate, is it because who might be on the list is the reason we're not getting the truth?
Definitely. 100%. I mean, let's just look at it. We were told we would get the list. We were told the files were on her desk, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. Then when they released a folder with recycled information, she said, oh, well, they didn't give her all the information. And then supposedly a truckload of information was delivered to her office the next morning. And then 1,000 agents were working 24/7 on this, trying to get to the all the information so it could be released to the public. Well, we're 2.5 months later, 3 months later, and Dave, we've gotten no additional information. Kash Patel, when John Kennedy, our senator, questioned him, said they're working on it. Said they're working on it. So what takes this long, Dave? I don't know if you've got 1,000 people working on this into the wee hours of the night. What is the deal here? People aren't looking for videos to be released. We don't want any of that pornographic material released. We
Sure.
want the files, the names, the people that were involved in this. That's what the American people are looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for too. And quite frankly, I'm less concerned about who's on the list that full disclosure and justice gets done because that's what we were promised in the campaign. And now we have a glaring exception to that. I'm going to speculate here. And listen, I have no proof, but you know that Jeffrey Epstein had to have a lot of dead man switches around the planet, that his death would trigger any number of things to be disclosed. And that was the protection he'd have against assassination. And I went through this with Ken Lay and Enron, and I won't go into the detail, but we never believe Ken Lay committed suicide for the same kind of reasons. And in fact, Ken Lay even joked with us on a conference call, we all better have our dead man switches in play because we were violating the government's Invention Act of 1951, coming out with some new technology, and they didn't want that, and that they took him down, and they invented all those charges. And I've seen this game played before. There you get a deal. Hey, we go into all different aspects of considering this, but that's a good program we have over in the TV show. I'd encourage you to go join it, thecommonsenseshow.tv. And I'll tell you, it's eye-opening. And this man's a great journalist. Great journalist. He's worthy of you following him as well. Hey, thanks for joining us here. We're coming back. There's some stuff you need to know about Russia. They're in trouble, big trouble. And it's not just the war in Ukraine. In Iran, well, are we looking at a regime change that's underway? Very possibly.